Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm excited about having our good buddy Tom Asacker back on the show. Tom's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our top branding experts, not only in our Brain Trust, but in the world. And he's a guy who helps companies understand. He helps get it across to a lot of different people all around the world how to grow their businesses in the 21st century. He's the author of a number of books, including Sandbox Wisdoms, The Four Sides of Sandbox Wisdom, A Brand New World, and the fourth one is A Clear Eye for Branding. He's our good friend, Tom Asacker. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back, and welcome back to the USA.
It is great to be back, although, I didn't miss the heat and humidity. Well, I still love the good old USA.
You went to Europe recently to work with an international company, and what was your assignment? We're not going to say who the company was. In fact, I've asked you not to tell me so I don't accidentally say it. It's not important who they are. What's important is where they are in their attempt to survive in the 21st century, to thrive in the 21st century. They recognized they had some problems, I guess, and they needed some help. And so what was your assignment when they contacted you?
Well, I was there really to act as a catalyst. They brought in all of their marketing and product development people from around the world to talk about the concepts of branding, marketing, and innovation. You know, what does that really mean today in the 21st century? Because it's really different than it used to be in the heydays of mass marketing back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So I was there to really talk about how things are changing, how new ways of creating value for their customers. And their customers are both store owners who purchase their products and the end customer who purchased the product from the store owner. So, you know, we were really discussing the irrelevance of some of marketing's quote-unquote sacred cows, the concepts that they're still learning today in business books that they pick up off the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the feeling that these people still had a lot of 20th century baggage?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
And it was systemic in the organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, once an organization develops a mindset, that mindset has a way of reinforcing itself.
It's the culture, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it stifles dissent. That's why a lot of people bring me in, because I don't have any hidden agendas. I really don't care, and I told them what they think about me or my concepts at all, because I'm walking out of here at the end of this day. Mm-hmm. What I'm here to do is to just give you some facts, some figures, some insights, some concepts, what some other people are doing, and then you can take that, those lessons, and apply those to how you operate your business in order to move your business forward. So that's in essence what the day was like there.
What did you see where were they stuck? What did you see the biggest challenge that they had to overcome?
Well, I saw the director almost fall down when I told everyone to forget about things like the four P's, you know, product, price, place, and promotion.
Right.
Because I guess the day before, he put up a big slide about
four P's.
Yeah, and I looked at him, and he kind of, you know, he made one of these, shook his head and like looked down at the floor a little bit, put his hand on his head. And then he looked up at everybody and he smiled and he said, I told you that this guy was going to give you some thinking that was different than the conventional way that we've been thinking.
Right.
But in essence, that was what the problem was. From a marketing perspective, they're still looking at what's our product, how is it priced, where do we sell it, and how do we go about promoting it. And that conventional way of approaching the marketplace, frankly, it's choking the life out of many, many companies, big and small.
There's no question about it. And because what basically what that's saying is that approach, the 4P approach is saying is it's all about me as opposed to it being all about the customer.
Absolutely. You know, it's let's define ourselves within this realm of competitors. And
right.
that's the wrong way to go about thinking about how do you want to create a business and how you want to stand out. Because you don't want to be in this arena with your competitors.
I call that the customer, what customer syndrome. Stand by, Tom. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Tom Masacker, the author of A Clear Eye for Branding. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Tom Masacker is all over our website. If you go to our site and look up branding in the Brain Trust, look up branding in the archives, look up branding in the articles, or growing your business, or anything to do with making sure that you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, you're going to find Tom somewhere on our website because he's deposited quite a bit of his wisdom over the years. And Tom, we really appreciate that. Why don't you give us your website so they can go there?
It is aclear eye.com, like a clear eye for branding. It's aclear eye, aclear eye.com.
All right, and they can find out about your books there and some of the things that you do, the speaking that you do, and if they wanted to get you to come and speak to their organization or their company, they can find out more about that there as well, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so check that out, folks, at aclear eye.com. Tom, we're talking about this trip that you made to Germany, and the work that you were doing there, and you basically, you know, you went over and stuck your finger in the eye of the way they've been doing business, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did, and I'm sure a few of them have some tears still in their eyes over there, you know, because it's going to disrupt. Well, I mean, think about it, and I tried to explain that to them. I was going to say a lot of things that were going to reflect perhaps negatively on a lot of things that they just completed doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't look at it as if they did something wrong. You know, they can't say, well, you did something wrong over here, Mr. or Mrs. X. They have to say, prior to having this information, this is how we operated. Now with this information, how do we move forward and make the necessary changes? You know, Deming said it. Deming said you don't have to, you know, survival, you don't have to survive. It's up to you.
Edwards Deming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he used to make that statement at the end of every speech that he gave.
Right.
And unfortunately, no one in this country embraced what he was talking about with
back
the quality movement.
Back in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, so what? So we went to Japan. So now Toyota, you know, is the number one selling car in the United States. That's sad. But you know what? If we don't jump on this whole idea that the customer is looking for an experience, is looking for something that touches their feelings, if we don't understand that, then the same thing is going to happen to us again. It's going to be the Chinese or India or somebody else that's going to make the products, develop the stores, provide the services that really are what we are looking for as customers. And we have no loyalty. I mean, it should be very clear to everyone now that loyalty to corporations does not exist. Because if it did, we wouldn't be allowing GM and Ford to go down and out. We purchase whatever we think is going to fulfill our needs, our wants, our emotions, our feelings, and that's it.
Well, one of the things I think that helps put the things in perspective, Tom, is you and I are old enough. You're a lot younger than me, but you still remember things that when families got something for the very first time, the very first microwave, the very first VCR, the first time maybe the family got two cars or an ice machine, an ice maker in the refrigerator or something like that. In the 20th century, it was still largely about the product because we were getting something we'd never had, and so you could companies could manipulate us to buy these things that we wanted. Now there are very few things that are out there that we don't all have, and so it's not about acquiring the product. It's I can get the product anywhere. It's about the experience, as you've talked to us about many times. It's about the experience that we have when we're getting that product.
You know, Jim, I gave an example of 1950s, if you want to call it 50s, marketing. And you're absolutely right. The word consumer, if you think about it, I mean, it was developed back in the 50s because we were like locusts in a field. It
right.
didn't matter what they were throwing at us. We were mm-hmm. gobbling it up. You know, but I gave them an example, and I've never seen a group of people, and it was a large group, laugh as hard as they did, because there wasn't anyone from the States there. It was mostly European. And I told them, I said, you know, we have a product in the United States called Chicken of the Sea Tuna. And you should have heard these people laughing. They said, why would you name something Chicken from the Sea? And I said, because we were stupid. In the 50s, if they told us it was chicken of the sea, then we forgot that it was fish. We started thinking something else. But the customer is not like that anymore.
You can't manipulate customers like that anymore, can you?
No, but there's still companies trying to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, was your client, were they one of those companies?
That are still trying to do that?
Yeah.
I would say no. They're really not manipulative, but they're also not looking at the experiential component of the entire product. I mean, things like the bag that you put the product in. I read a web blog posting a few weeks ago from a gentleman that bought an iPod, and his entire posting was about how cool he felt walking out of the Apple store with this silver bag that said iPod on the side. I mean, it was amazing.
He wasn't excited about the iPod. He knew what that was going to do for him. He was wowed by the bag.
He was wowed by the bag. The bag reinforced the money that he spent and reinforced his identity as a smart, design-savvy guy. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that you know most people would be so excited about having the iPod, and he was impressed by the bag. It's very interesting how people react, folks, and those are the emotions that we've got to try to touch with our customers, and not so much what we sell, but how we deliver it. Tintail will be right back with Tom Masacker. Stay with us.
And nothing. Oh, nothing's going right.
We're back at 7:10. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend, Tom Masacker, the author of A Clear Eye for Branding. And Tom, give us your website again, please.
It's aclear-eye.com.
aclear-eye.com. And of course, your books are available wherever books are sold. Don't forget, folks, the first one is Sandbox Wisdom, and then the sequel, The Four Sides of Sandbox Wisdom, and then also A Brand New World. Tom, these folks that you were speaking to, it seems to me that I'm imagining the owner, the president, the leader of that company, that multinational company, would be saying, okay, folks, all the things that we used to do to try to penetrate the market are passe. We're not going to do any of those things anymore. We're going to do the things that Tom says we should be doing. And all of us are going to do that. Now, I can see a leader doing that. But I can also see him or her looking around the room and saying to himself, if not out loud, therefore, about 25% of you aren't going to make it. Because you can't change. You're so invested in the old way, you can't change. You won't be able to make it to the new direction. And I'd like your thoughts about that. Do you agree with me about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, this all has to originate at the top. I mean, the thinking and the will and the desire, once it's in the top leadership of the company, things can happen. Now, see, I used to believe that small business had a big advantage because in order to turn around large numbers of people at big businesses, mm-hmm. it takes a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
But And here's the but that I want to throw out there. Business Week, this latest edition of Business Week, everybody should pick that up and read it. Everybody in small business should read it, because it's really interesting what some of these big businesses, I mean, they're starting to catch on. For example, Procter & Gamble, under Lafley here, you know, he just named a woman in 2001 the vice president for design, innovation, and strategy, all about tapping into customer experiences. Now, he has laid off thousands of top executives and middle managers and scientists, and quadrupled the design staff, mm-hmm. the people responsible for creating experiences with the products that customers can be attracted to.
Well, you're basically making my point, because the people he got rid of are the ones who were invested in the old way, and that's the key, I think, is that you know, listening to you speak and believing what you're saying is one thing, but if you can't change the culture of your organization, it's not going to happen.
Well, again, and that's why I say small business has an advantage, because mm-hmm. they are the culture.
That's right.
So what needs to change is a small business owner's mindset, because that's the culture of the business. And then he goes out there and just makes the necessary changes, whatever those are, in order to grow the business.
But there are a lot of small business owners out there, Tom, that are in that group that I just mentioned that are not going to make it, because they can't get away from the four P's. They don't even know what the four P's are, but they can't get away from that kind of thinking. And if they can't, then they're not going to survive in the 21st century, are they?
No, unfortunately, and I'll give you an example. And there's a small business located in my business building, in the building where my business is located. And I've been up there, and I know one of the people that works there. And they have a person there that really delivers a horrible experience when you walk in the door. And I said to the person that works there, why will the owner of this small business not make a change? And you know, she says back to me, well, he's afraid to. She's been there for years and years, and she has a lot of knowledge, and she has a lot of whatever. And I try to explain to this person, it has nothing to do with that, with knowledge or anything else. It has to do with whether or not I refer that business to all of my friends and associates, and
right.
I won't do it.
That's right.
So I think the other thing is status quo. A lot of people just don't want to make a change, because once they make that change, they might have to dig in and do a little bit of work. But that's okay. I mean, it's important to understand, to grow the business, you have to invest someplace. I say invest in people, invest in your time. You don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money to do this. This is not about
right.
advertising. That's
right.
the other reason that small business has a great advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because advertising is not the big barrier to entry like it used to be.
Tom, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for all the great wisdom you've given us today. And I'm glad you're back in the USA, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Tom Asacker, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.